Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you can say, on this day, he has made me glad? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You have your Bibles with you. If you'll turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to look at it today. And I trust you'll keep your Bibles open. John 14. We usually read this passage of Scripture when there is a funeral service, but this is a great passage of happiness. Look at verse 5. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. So just how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Here ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. O Lord, we bow down before you today. The words that we have read are words of truth, words of life, and indeed the words of the only way. So we bow down and we worship you this day. Open the word to our hearts this day and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. William Clay Sargent. He was considered one of the brightest minds on Wall Street. At a young age, he was chosen to be a member of the New York Stock Exchange, one of the highest prestigious positions that one can achieve too in the world of finance. He was destined to be a John Templeton, a Peter Lynch, a guru of the stock market. He had a unique ability of buying companies that were failing. And he'd buy this company and he would invest in the company and the company would rise to the top. And just at that moment when it's achieved its highest rating on the stock market, he would sell it and make an incredible profit for his clients. And so clients flocked to him. He had business clients. He had many personal clients. And yet suddenly, very suddenly, this man destined to greatness in the financial field resigned. And he wrote to his clients and he wrote in retiring from the stock exchange and he said this. It is as a fine cold steel ball of fear that starts under your breastbone until you can feel the chill of it in the marrow of your being, strong drink covers it, makes you sleep until the edge of night snaps and is dawn again. Dawn again, and that fear. Some call this anxiety in the being. It comes from the English word, actually the Latin word, anxious. It comes from the choking, obstruction, internal pain. Anxious. This is how the disciples felt in the scripture that I read to you this morning. Jesus was saying to them, look, I'm leaving you. I'm going away. And he began to teach them that he was going to die, and not just a normal death, but he was going to die the most horrendous way that one person in that day could die, and that was on a cross. The Romans looked upon the cross as the worst form of punishment. It was for the very low of society. Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you. And they stared at him, absolutely bewildered, very much anxious. We thought you would deliver us from the bondage of Rome. Never a person in the history of the world had ever lived like you. Gave sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, even people raised to life. The disciples there in that upper room were absolutely terrified. And finally, old Thomas asked the question. He said, Lord, we don't understand. We just do not understand what you're talking about. I'm sure Peter must have said, look, I left the fishing business, and I had a very lucrative fishing business. I left it behind for this. And old Matthew must have said, look, I can't go back as a tax collector. I've mended my ways, but I'm going to be left alone? What is he talking about? And Jesus gave the staggering claim. And the claim he made is either a person of truth or the greatest egomaniac who ever lived. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Let's look at these claims this day. Each one of them. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way, the only way. Now, people with liberal ideas of life react very strongly to this. Jesus is saying, I am the only way to the Father. Now, wait a minute. You take the Christian road, I take another road, and each one has their own viewpoint of life and their own religious philosophy, and we get to the end. And we're all on common ground. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I am the only way to the Father God. Have you ever been lost? The old expression, my wife would tell you, I could get lost in a telephone booth. And I've been on the road, and I've stopped to ask directions. And the person will say, well, you go down a mile down the street, and you come to a street on the left, and take that street, and I think you go down about another couple miles, and you find another road, and I'm not sure which road it is, but take that road. I guarantee you, as soon as I leave that person, I'm lost. I might take the first road, but from there on in, I'm lost. But suppose I stopped and said to a person, you know, I'm looking for such and such a place. And the person said, you know, it just so happens that I'm going there. And so my car is out there. I'll get in my car. You follow me. I'll stop at the place. I'll toot my horn, I'll point there, and that's where you want to go. That's what Jesus is saying here. Take my hand. Each one of these, I'd like to give an illustration. Story of a man searching for God. He was a scholar. He was a graduate of Oxford in England. And in those days, you either became a scholar or you became a clergyman in the Church of England, and that's what he did. But a man who knew he was lost and he needed to find the way. One day in a chapel in Aldersgate, John Wesley found that Jesus was the only way. He said this, "I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldergate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. While he was describing the change which God makes in the human heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. An assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." John Wesley came to believe, founded the Methodist movement, that Jesus Christ was indeed the one he said he was the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way to the Father." But secondly, he said something else. It was staggering. He said, "I am truth." What is truth? Scholars have debated that. Only one person in history said, "I am the truth." Look at Jesus. What do you see? Not the man upstairs. Not a benevolent grandfather. You look in the face of Jesus, you see holiness, and you see justice. And you see man alongside of him, sinners. Holy God, we are sinners. But thanks be to God and praise be, there's another side to Jesus. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. A holy God mocked, beaten, and there on the cross is ultimate truth. There was another scholar, a professor in England, a graduate of Oxford and a lecturer at Oxford University, and he was searching for truth. He said, "I believe in no religion. There's absolutely no proof for any of them. And from a philosophical standpoint, Christianity is not even the best." He said, "I believe in the meaningless of life. Nearly all I have loved to be imaginary. Nearly all I believe to be real is meaningless." But he had colleagues at Oxford, G.K. Chesterton and J.R. Tolkien, and they would gather and they would have once a week a 2 or 3 hour session where they would look at truth. And both of these men were Christians. And little by little, C.S. Lewis became convinced that Jesus Christ was truth. He said this, "Once while riding a bus in Oxford, he sensed he was holding something at bay or shutting something out. He finally surrendered himself to the Christian faith. And he said, I was a reluctant convert. And yet this man who searched for truth, found it in Jesus Christ, and became the most highly regarded Christian writer of our times." Think of the works, Mere Christianity, the Ode to Joy, and some of the great writings of C.S. Lewis. He found that Jesus Christ was the way. He found out that Jesus Christ was truth. But there's another point to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am the life." Disciples were stunned. You want life? Real life? Jesus said, I have come, my mission in life, I have come to bring you life and life more abundantly. Dorothy and I went to the movies recently. We saw a movie entitled The Life Story of Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel received his undergraduate degree in journalism. And then he went to Yale Law School and he graduated from Yale Law School. He became an editor and a journalist searching for truth. He was the one who broke open the investigation of the Ford's Pinto and the results of it. He was the one. He received a high reward for his journalism. From a legal point of view, showed that that automobile was defective. Editor of the Chicago Tribune, legal editor. He had everything. He was a member of the society in Chicago, both he and his wife. Very active in the life of Chicago and the society. And then his wife, by the name of Leslie, became involved with some people, friends that she knew, and friends invited her to go to Willow Creek, which is a mega church in that area. She went first to the Bible study, and then she went to church. She found that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, the way, the truth, and the life. And she committed her life to Christ. That's not what Lee Strobel had bargained for. He said his wife had become a Jesus freak. And he said there was only one alternative to the dilemma they faced. She is a believer. He said he, at least not an atheist, but an agnostic. And her Christian faith and his viewpoint of life didn't correspond. There's only one way. And there was tension. But he noticed that something had happened to this woman. His wife. There was something about her he couldn't put his finger on. But she had found a way of life he did not have. One day at the news office, the Chicago Tribune, talking to some of the people, he explained the dilemma that he was facing in life with his wife. And someone said to him, Lee, with your brilliant mind, with your journalistic ability, why don't you search and prove that her faith is wrong? That it could not stand up in today's society. And so he thought about that and he started his pursuit. And he began to investigate people, scholars all over. Was the New Testament reliable? Is there evidence that Jesus existed outside of the Bible? Is there any reason to believe that the resurrection was an actual event? And he began to investigate to prove that Christ was not who he said he was. And he traveled all over interviewing people, authorities, scholars, people in walks of life. Can this book be proven to be untrue, not trustworthy? And little by little, Lee Strobel began to realize that the claims of Christ were true. And he wrote a book. It's called The Case for Christ. It has sold 15 million copies. And he left the Chicago Tribune, and now he is a Christian writer showing in an intellectual way and yet a day-by-day way that Jesus Christ is the person whom he said he was. Jesus said, I am the way. You want to go to the Father? There's only one way. I am the way. Jesus said, you want to know what truth is? I am truth. You want life? Then I've come to bring you life, and life more abundantly. We have a message that is true. We have a message that's powerful. We have a message that can be proven by some of the great scholars that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, and he can change the human heart. I know I'm speaking to the choir, but what a message we have. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Praise be to the Lord. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before you today, because indeed you are the way. We have bowed down before you and we received you as Lord and Savior, and we know that our sins are forgiven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have investigated truth, and truth is found in you, O Lord. And we know how to find the Father because we know truth. And we know in the very depths of our being that you are the way, the only way. And we bow down before you and we praise you this day. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It was my pleasure to be with you the past several weeks. In the summertime, I wore a jacket today. Reason I did,